Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Monday morning. Thanks for joining us at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate all you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. We want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffee House and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffee House here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. It would be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Boggin Bend.
Wow, that's definitely a new one. I don't think I've ever heard that, but it would be pretty weird.
I'm really working now to try to get some obscurity going on this.
If you told me that was a town on Red Dead Redemption, I would totally believe it.
I could have told you that was a town on Red Dead Redemption, on Breaking Bad. Remember when Walt and Jesse had to go to Boggin Bend? But I told you it was in Lord of the Rings.
Yes.
Told you the Hobbit stayed at Boggin Bend.
Boggin Bend, yeah, absolutely.
I told you it was in Justified. Like they arrested Boyd Crowder at Boggin Bend. Yes, you'd buy any one of those stories. But instead,
there's no doubt about it.
Instead, it's just not that far.
That's gonna be in the next Grisham book.
Yes, it might be. In real life, it's just down the road from Baldwin.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. It's just a click away, strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. Pip Printing and Signs, reliable service for every business need. What does that mean? It means that whatever it takes to get customers into your business, Pip Printing and Signs has a plan and a solution for you. I've got a folder here. And you can go on printprinting.com and have a look at it and see more about it. But it's incredible the amount of stuff that they can do that you would never think of as a printing. You know, you think of a printing company, you think, oh, they're just doing flyers. Well, they do a hell of a lot more than that over at Pitt Printing and Signs, and they can put it all out there for you. And best of all, if you're a Mississippi State fan, when you do business with Pitt Printing and Signs, you tell them, hey, we heard about you on Thunder and Lightning. They're going to turn that around for you and get you onto the Bulldog Initiative, which after this weekend, the Bulldog Initiative might need some of your help. I'll be honest with you. Might need some of your help. Might need a little extra cash in the coffers after what happened this weekend. We'll talk more about that in just a minute. When you need printing, call Pip today. Call Cam Baker at 601-499-5216. The website is pipridgeland.com. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you are looking for. This Father's Day, I hope you were able to get Dad some new gear from College Corner. But if you weren't, well, then get it today. You know, any day can be Father's Day. Any day can be Mother's Day. Any day can be Christmas when you go to College Corner and you come home with some great new gear for your family, for your loved ones, or for any Bulldog in your life. Two locations in the Jackson area, Ridgeland by Fleet Feet, Flowood by the Half Shell, or you can shop online at collegecornerstore.com. Restaurant Tyler is Starkville's flagship restaurant for lunch, for dinner, for Sunday brunch. The best meal in town is at Restaurant Tyler. When you're talking about lunch in the state of Mississippi, you're talking about a blue plate, meat, veggies, cornbread, the best in town, the best in the city, the best in the area, the best in the state probably, right there at Restaurant Tyler. So if you're going to grab lunch today in Starkville, make sure it's at Restaurant Tyler, corner of Washington Street and Main. It's the best lunch in town. It's at Restaurant Tyler. 16 Priority One Bank locations here to serve you. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide. Let them be the website that shows you not only the location of the nearest Priority One Bank to you, but all of the financial services available to you at Priority One Bank. Let them show you how Priority One Bank can work for your money. You've already worked for your money. You got it to the bank. Let Priority One Bank take it from there. They can make investing decisions for you easy. Just really simple stuff that they do better than anybody else. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. It's Father's Day as we're recording, Robbie, so we will start off with a dad joke. Are you ready?
Yes, I am.
All right. Hey, Robbie, have you ever looked in a telescope?
I have.
Try again.
I haven't.
Let's do it one more time. Hey, Robbie, have you ever used a telescope?
Oh, you screwed this whole thing up. You said, have I ever looked into
it's
it?
It's the same question. Have you ever?
Okay.
Have you ever?
Oh, no, I've never looked.
Oh, it's fun. You should look into it.
Oh. Boo.
No, this is your fault. This is your fault.
It's not my fault.
You said,
I don't know where you're going with this.
You got to say
you
no.
Asked you me a question.
Assume the answer is always no. Why would I ask you a yes? Why would I ask you a yes question?
I have to assume the answer is no. Oh,
dad joke, you always got to say the punchline
okay, well,
is always set up by a no answer. No, the answer is never yes in a dad joke. You know this. You messed up. I want you to take the. You're going to bear the responsibility for that.
Okay.
All right. I'm sorry. I screwed up too. All right. Do I have to play it for every commitment, or can I just play it one time? You make.
Let's just unveil it, and then we'll just break everybody down.
Let's go. I'm glad you said that. I didn't really want to play it 9 times. I got to be honest with you. Is it 9? Is that the number? What is the number? What's the actual
9?
We sit here at 4:44 on a Sunday.
6.
6.
6 is the announced commitments.
Okay.
We are expecting 3 more.
3 more.
Yeah, we talked to Paul and I. We're at the hotel on Sunday. We got a chance to talk to most of these guys, and we talked to a couple, 2 or 3 that I think are going to make a decision pretty soon. So we're still waiting on 3 more, which means out of this weekend, I think there will have been
that would be 9.
9 out of 15.
So say they had 15 visitors this weekend, and you expect 9 of them to be committed by the end of the week. Would that be a fair assessment?
Either the end of the week or next week.
By the end of next week.
Yeah.
Very.
That's a pretty good percentage of a visit.
So, if I'm correct, and you taught me there's all of these kids except for one who we'll talk about who's a JUCO, are out of state kids. This was a setup as an out-of-state recruiting weekend, and next weekend is supposed to, or this next coming weekend is more of an in-state weekend. Is that accurate?
Yes.
That is a very interesting philosophy to me. It seems to have worked. I'll give them that. It definitely seems to work. It's interesting to look at, especially to look at Mississippi State's class right this second and see this many out-of-state guys at this early stage. So let's just start going through them here. And we'll start – let's just go the way that they've got him listed here on the On3 website with Stephen Miller, a 6'1" safety out of Greene County High School, Greensboro, Georgia. The thing I've been looking at all week is offers, Robbie. I'm not really – because a lot of these kids, they don't have ratings from one site or all of the sites, so I'm just more concerned with what offers are being listed. And you see here with Miller, offer from Tennessee, Vandy, LSU, Arkansas, Kansas, Oregon State. These are quality offers. Not only other Power 4 offers, but SEC offers. So, you know, rated as a on three as a his industry ranking is low because he doesn't have ESPN or Rivals yet, but he's rated as a pretty high 3-star on three and 24/7. Just looks like a kind of guy who could get a 4-star bump if he has a good season. He's the first guy on this list. Defensive backs was obviously a big focus for State this weekend, and Miller looks to be one of the better ones they've pulled in.
Yeah, I really like this kid. I think he's got a chance to be good. You look at his early offers, like you said, I don't know if he could commit to Tennessee and LSU right now, but what I always say about that is these guys – I mean, people always diminish that, like, oh, well, they didn't have a committable offer. They're on their radar.
Right.
But you don't offer a kid at a school like that if you don't think that they can play, if you didn't see something in their game. So Tennessee and LSU at some point thought, this guy's good enough to play for us.
Mm-hmm.
That's good enough for me. I don't know if he could commit to them right now, but that's good enough for me. I know that he could commit to Indiana, Kansas, who, I mean, it looks like Kansas is doing a pretty freaking good job at evaluating right now. You know, NC State, I think, was a place he was expected to visit after this. So he's not going to, obviously, but I think the kid can play. I think this is one of your better defensive backs on the board. And you had a couple other big-time guys in this weekend that would be even bigger pools, but I really like this kid. One thing that I noticed with a lot of these defensive backs is they're big. They're physical-looking dudes, and he's one of them. I think that he's a guy that when he gets into the weight room, going to be a nice, you know, physical kid. So this was a really good pickup. This is one of State's priorities and when it comes to defensive backs. And the defensive backfield is a huge priority for Mississippi State as a whole, as evidence of what we've seen here this official visit weekend. I mean, defensive backs galore.
Yeah.
I talked to several of them. So
let's talk about another one here. And what a name. Siku Smith Jr. Now, when I saw this name, I first saw it, I believe, last weekend. And I didn't want to put the post on the message board because I was just like, it's just too obvious, right? So I just
texted, any relation?
I just texted Paul Jones. I was like, Siku Smith Jr., really? And he texted me back, no relation. And I was just like, I don't normally curse around Paul, but I think I may have sent him back, you're effing kidding.
Yeah.
And he just laughed. And
we actually talked to his dad today, and we're like, you know, it's kind of weird that your name is Siku Smith. He was like, yeah, did that guy live in Atlanta? Because apparently they've gotten that before.
Right. Well, at the time he passed, he was, I think, in Atlanta, and he was a big time NBA writer at that point.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's no doubt. No relation there. And his dad was there with him.
Did you say that would be a little weird?
That definitely would be a little weird.
I can't believe the odds of there being a Siku Smith Jr. that's not related to the Siku Smith. But whatever, he's committed to Mississippi State now.
I mean, it's almost like being another Robbie Faulk out there. So,
yeah.
Yeah, kind of an obscure name to have somebody else and have no relation.
If 20 years from now, Robbie Faulk Jr. commits to Mississippi State, people are going to be like, he's got to be it. No, it's not.
Yeah.
He's not. So, I mean, it might be. Yeah, I mean, you never know.
From like Montana or something.
Yeah. So, Siku Smith Jr. out of Miami, the city of Miami Central High School, offers. Let's look at them again. Miami, Ole Miss, Texas A&M, Louisville. These are quality offers all around for this young man. Another defensive back, 6 foot, only 160 pounds. So, my guess is probably a corner down the road. Doesn't have an on-3 rating just yet. 3 stars on 24/7 ESPN and Rivals. We'll see what on-3 thinks about him. But again, as you just said, obviously the secondary was a priority this week. I think defense was a priority this weekend. It almost feels like State, like from an offensive line perspective, they're going to look an offensive perspective. They're looking more in-state. That's where Taylor is, Cunningham. A couple of the linemen they want, Mario Nash, they got a commitment from an offensive lineman this weekend. It feels like maybe they're going out of state a little bit more for some of these defensive guys. Siku Smith Jr. is one of them.
Well, I think a lot of these guys, when you look out of state, it's just Georgia and Florida is where they're hitting pretty hard on these defensive backs. Those are states to me that are just – these players are just more developed. And I think what they're trying to do is build depth, players that can come in and can help you fairly early. And I'm not saying players in Mississippi can't, but I do think that a kid from Miami, Florida, and kids from Georgia, I think the chances, the percentages of them coming in and helping you early, especially like in the defensive backfield or, somewhere like that, a position that's of need, for Mississippi State next year, I just don't see a lot of that depth this year inside the state of Mississippi at those positions. So they've gone out, they're going after guys that are getting early offers from some good Power 5 programs, really good Power 5 programs. And Siku Smith's a guy that really the last few weeks, his recruitment with Mississippi State has seemed to elevate a little bit. And I'm not going to pretend to know everything about these kids last few weeks because I just hit this thing hard on Sunday helping Paul out. Paul's the expert. I don't know hardly anything about these guys other than what I've researched in the last couple of days. But just following Paul's recruiting notes over the last few weeks, Seku's really kind of emerged. A lot of these players have state has made a move with a lot of these guys just in the past few weeks. There's some they've been on for a long time, but some of these guys have really, you know, the recruitment has really elevated. And I think that he's a player that, you know, in a couple of years, 2 or 3 years, he could really help you out, I think.
All right. Next up, defensive lineman Christopher Johnson out of Robert E. Lee High School in Montgomery, Alabama. Again, let's look at the offers. West Virginia, Vanderbilt, Memphis, Tulane. These aren't the best offers in the world, but defensive line is a position of need for Mississippi State. A 6'3", 255-pound junior, rising senior. We'll see how it pans out, but this is a guy that I think this is a guy you kind of that sort of hits on what you were just talking about that kind of popped up on the radar in the last week or two, and State made their move and got him this weekend.
Yeah, I think it's just, you know, we'll see, you know, what happens with him, but a nice frame, 6'3", 255, is a big kid. You know, got a chance to develop. He's picked up a few offers. It's just kind of a wait and see in a lot of defensive linemen, especially in high school, because a lot of them you take for potential. You see the frame on them, and you really – the same thing with the offensive linemen. There's technique things that you work with, and David Turner's a guy that's really good at projecting. He sees what players can be before they become it and kind of can take them to that level. So it's a good piece of clay, I think, for David Turner to kind of mold a little bit, and he likes recruiting Alabama and Mississippi a lot for these defensive linemen, Georgia too. So hopefully he can kind of mold into the player that they think that he can be.
Moving down the list here. They keep coming. Junior college linebacker LaKendrick James, currently at Colin out of Shelby, Mississippi, Northside High School originally. He's a guy I remember from being on the radar for Mississippi State as a high school player. Ends up at Colin, now going to be committed to Mississippi State. Had an Ole Miss offer as well. A JUCO linebacker kind of really fits the bill when you think about what Mississippi State is kind of lacking on the defensive depth chart. That's a guy who should be able to come in next year, and if he's up to snuff, make an immediate impact.
Yeah, no doubt. It just solid build on this kid. I think he's up to, I want to say, 225, 230, something like that. He's, you know, he's just a real solid kid right now. And you look at the film, really pops off the film. Guy that could be kind of an edge rusher for you, I think could play the jack position for you at linebacker, mm-hmm. coming off the edge and give you something that you really need from a pass rush standpoint. And he's going to be solidly built, a guy that could blitz in between the tackles and get through there and be kind of a stopgap guy too. So I really love this kid. He was like a must get for me in this class. I know people want to kind of move away from the junior college level, but there's a ton of guys coming up in junior college this year that I think can help you next season. So I'm not one of those that says just stop recruiting junior college, because I still think there's some really good players there. East Mississippi has some really good ones. They had one in this weekend that's going to get recruited by everybody in the country. I think LaKendrick James, by the end of the year, we could be talking about him as a, you know, all-state, all-American type guy. I think he's going to put up some big numbers for Colin, and again, kind of strengthening that pipeline that you have there in Wesson that haven't seen a ton of guys come out of there in recent years to Mississippi State. But this is a good one that I think was a no-brainer.
Next up on the list, another Mississippi. This is a Mississippi kid, but an offensive kid, as we were saying, Josiah Clemens. Big offensive lineman, 6'7", and 315 pounds. I didn't know Clinton Christian Academy was a school. Do you know the mascot? I got to look it up. Hold on.
Are they like the Raiders or something? Or the Patriots?
They appear to be the Patriots because their mascot looks like a Patriot. Captain Christian is his name.
They're fairly.
Oh, they're the Warriors. They're the Warriors. Okay.
I don't remember them until about maybe 3 years ago.
Yeah.
They've really kind of popped up on the map. Their basketball team's really good, mm-hmm. and their football team's kind of coming along too. So I know they played Winston Academy a few times, so that's where I've kind of seen them every now and then.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, this is a guy that kind of popped up in recent weeks that we talked about. Recruitment's really starting to pick up speed. This is one of those. And 6'7", you can't teach the size that he has.
Mm-hmm.
6'7", listed at 315, just a massive human being. And, I know he's not rated super high. He's, I think, on own three, he's a 86.
Yeah.
So kind of mid-level.
Project. I mean, no Power 5 offers to speak of. But as you said, a big kid that if State's able to land on some of their other offensive line targets, then you can afford to take a project and see if he'll develop. Now, I know in this world of the transfer portal, that might not pan out. But that doesn't mean that schools like Mississippi State, aren't going to still take a shot or two on a developmental guy if they feel like they can do it.
Yeah, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that. You can go out and get guys in the transfer portal to plug at these offensive line spots. You still need some of these other guys kind of coming up because you can't get to a point where you're stuck with filling four or five holes on the offensive line every year or every other year. You've got to have some guys that are ready to kind of come in there and make their move. So I like this, see what he's got. And, yeah. if he's not up to snuff, then he'll just transfer. I mean, that's just part of it.
That's simple. It is that simple. Last one on the list, cornerback out of East Coweta High School in Noonan, Georgia, Darian Horsley. You mentioned big defensive backs earlier. This is one, 6'3" and 185 pounds. Power 5 offers from TCU in Minnesota. Another guy all of these guys, I really feel like I just started reading about like 2 weeks ago. Horsley is a guy that as soon as I saw his name, Paul was making comments like this is one to watch. And he was, mm-hmm. I think, the first commitment of the weekend.
Yeah, I got a chance to see him up close. And, yeah, man, he is a big cornerback. Wide frame, just solid build, not real skinny. We talked about Kelly Jones not really looking like a cornerback, but he's able to still play the position and play it well, but just not your typical size. This guy is kind of like Kelly Jones, but a different kind of build to him. He's a guy that when he gets in the weight room, and he's going to stick you. I mean, he's going to be tough. So I like this kid a lot. I think he can stick a cornerback too. I think he's athletic to play that position. And I don't really know why, like, hardly any of these players don't have rankings. But, I could see this guy being an 87, 88 initially and maybe working his way up, but another Georgia kid. I love the football they play in that state, and you cannot go wrong recruiting there.
Yeah. So six commitments on the weekend, and you think there could be up to three more. I don't know if you want to spoil – I don't want you to spoil anybody's announcements or anything, but who did you talk to that you felt good about? I know you mentioned a couple of guys on the message board.
Yeah, there's a few guys that I think – State really made a move with this weekend, and we'll see if they're able to do something with it. But I think Squirrel Clardy from Florida, I don't think he's on the verge of committing at all to Mississippi State. But I do think
Squirrel.
Yeah. His name's Ladarius.
It's one of my favorite college football players. I would love to add a squirrel to the roster.
His name's Ladarius, but okay. They call him Squirrel. But he's actually cousins with Martin Emerson.
Oh, so I feel it should be a plus for State there.
Martin Emerson has been really hammering him about Mississippi State. And I don't know if State's going to be able to get him, but I think they're squarely in it. I think Florida State's the team to beat there with him.
Mm-hmm.
But the State really did a good job with him this weekend. He's, he's got family that, know about Mississippi State and stuff like that. So I think that's good. And then also I think State made a move with Jalen Morgan this weekend, who's from Tennessee, another defensive back that State's going to have to fend off a ton of really good teams for.
Yeah.
But the thing with him is I think this place really appealed to him and his family. They are originally from Alabama. His mom was from Alabama, and she loved – we talked to her a little bit. She loved the visit this weekend, said it felt like home to her. With it being so close to Alabama, she said it really – I didn't feel any different than where I felt at home. He said the same thing. So I think State made a move with him as well. Also, Colin Wilson, who I really love, this kid, if he played for Mississippi State in this offense, would be dynamite. Cincinnati commitment. Kind of a Seth Davis type back, but a little different game for him. But he's got that kind of ability that he's kind of a game-breaker type and plays for Coach Mark Cutsbeth at Gulf Shores, one of the best programs in the Southeast.
Mm-hmm.
That's a kid that I think State has a good shot with potentially flipping, and we'll see. And then also Kevontae Henry from California. That's a player that was brought up last week by Paul. He was on campus. It was last week or the year week before, I can't remember. But former Oklahoma player, so he has a great relationship with Jeff Lebby. He actually left Oklahoma, I think, because of grades, had to go to junior college in California. This kid looks the part, man. And the film checks out, the stats check out, and in person, the eye test, it checks out, man. I'm not a talent evaluator, but everything that I see from this kid tells me he could play for State today. If they put him on the roster today, he could play. And he's going to be, I think, by the end of the year, one of the top junior college defensive players in the country.
Mm-hmm.
I think State – is in really good position with him. That would be a massive pickup. I think he ends up becoming a defensive end probably,
mm-hmm.
listed as a linebacker. I kind of see him with his hand on the ground, but we'll see. But watch out for a few of those this week.
A couple of guys from in-state were here as well this weekend. Micah Jones, the big tight end out of Madison Central. And according to 1-3, a guy I haven't seen much about, though, is Cortez Thomas, the DB out of Holmes County. Of course, Mississippi State has a great pipeline right now at Holmes County. Was Cortez Thomas on campus this weekend? I didn't see
him. He was not. He's supposed to be here this week.
Okay, so he's part of the big in-state group coming this weekend.
Yes. Okay,
but you had a chance to talk to Mike. Did you not?
He was supposed to go to Kentucky this week,
mm-hmm.
I believe, but that visit got canceled. So that I think the tea leaves, so to speak, are trending Mississippi State. We'll see if they're able to finish that, but that's where
gotcha.
Things appear to be moving.
All right. And you had a chance to speak to Micah Jones, did you not?
I did. He's been here a few times. I still get the vibe that it's Ole Miss in Florida with him. And I've covered that kid in basketball and football when they've covered Starkville High School, just a tremendous athlete, really nice sized kid. I think, going to be a really good tight end on the next level. But I just don't get the vibe when I'm around him that he's, a potential get for Mississippi State. Just because I just have a feeling Florida and Ole Miss are ahead of State. But I do think the State made a move and did some positive things this weekend with him. We'll see what happens. Florida is a team that has a really good chance, I think, to land him. Ole Miss has kind of been the favorite.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say, Florida's right there.
Florida's an interesting thing because I think you and I agree that there might be some change there at the end of the season. So being in second place with him might be a good place to be when you get to November if things start moving around. So we'll see. What a weekend for Mississippi State. Really reminiscent of that crazy Big Dog camp from 20 – I guess it would have been the 2014 Big Dog camp going into the signing day 2015. When all that madness happened. But this is a little different.
They had 8 or 9 that night. So this is
a little different because that was a lot of in-state kids and you had a lot more familiarity with Malik Deer and Jamal Peters and all those guys coming on board. And, Leo Lewis, that was the night he decommitted from Alabama and kind of everybody knew the writing was on the wall. I know he committed to Ole Miss, but well, we all know how that turned out. So
yeah.
A little different this time around because it's some out-of-state kids. Maybe you don't have the same familiarity. Next weekend with this in-state group coming in, I don't think you'd expect 9 guys, but could State see maybe 3 or 4 more guys pop next weekend?
Yeah, for sure. I think there's several that could go. But Kevin Otis is a guy that, if he has a really good visit, State could get him on board, I think. And then Cortez Thomas obviously is one to watch as well. I haven't seen a list yet from Paul. I'm sure middle of the week or so he'll probably get
Mario
that.
Nash will be here next weekend as well.
Yeah, I don't think that Mario is anywhere close to deciding. I think with his recruitment starting to blow up, I think he's enjoying the process. It would surprise me if he committed, you know, before the season.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is a big weekend for him to try to get him going.
We really got a feel of how this staff attacks recruiting this weekend. I mean, we've been talking for a while about, hey, they like to recruit. This is a good recruiting staff. We hadn't really seen it yet. Now we have, and it looks like when they get guys on campus, they do a good job at least of making them feel like a priority and making them want to be at Mississippi State. I mean, like you said, Robbie, the numbers kind of speak for themselves. 9 out of 15 visitors. That's you know, that's a Hall of Fame pace in any sport, I would tell you. So interesting stuff from Mississippi State. We'll see how this class continues to grow. It went from 4 commitments to 10 in 2 days and could be up to 13 by the end of the week, as Robbie said earlier. All right, let's move into the rest of the show. That's brought to you by our friends over at the Mississippi Beef Council, who want to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. A lot of our friends on Twitter, Robbie, were tweeting at us all weekend, showing us the beef they're cooking for Father's Day weekend. Saw some great ribeyes, some beef tenderloins, some briskets. Keep them coming, guys. We'd love to see them. You know, that's really all Robbie have in our lives. We just live vicariously through what y'all cook. You know, so we're happy to do it. And we want you to keep doing it. And we want you to keep supporting our beef providers here in the great state of Mississippi. They make our economy go $500 million a year in agribusiness. That is not that's not just chicken feed. Wait, no, chicken's not. No, never mind. Never mind.
I'll talk about chicken.
No. It's a lot of
money. Talk about catfish and beef on here.
That ain't no bull. There we go. Nailed it. Beef, it's what's for dinner. Thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District is the place to find the smoked southern soul food that you are looking for, and you are looking for it. Next time you're in Starkville, you need to make sure a trip to Two Brothers is on the menu. You've already been to Two Brothers, though. I know you. I know everybody listening out there is like, I've been to Two Brothers, and I love it, and I'm definitely going to go back. But I want to try something new. It's time to try out the older brother. Over at the old Two Brothers location on Rue de Grand Fromage, fancy sandwich. I know they sent me this thing. They're like, Brian, can you say it like this? And I'm looking at it like, God, it's fancy sandwiches is what it is. It's just what it is. That's what I want to call it. I mean, I don't know what else to tell you. When I get a sandwich on a nice plate that's toasted bread like I've never had before with French fries that a guy who doesn't like French fries has been craving since he ate there, that's what it is. And I embrace it, man. That's a great new restaurant here in Starkville. Definitely want you to go check out the older brother. But don't forget about Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District. Great products, great service. Every business promises it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. They've been doing it for 49 years. Going on 50 years now. I mean, we're halfway through the year, Robbie. I don't know when their birthday is. They could already be at the 50-year anniversary. I need them to let – if you're listening out there at Advantage Business Systems, when you get to 50, the day off, let me know. We'll celebrate together 50 years of serving your customers and taking care of them after the sale. That's what's kept them around for this long. It's not just selling you a great name brand product. It's knowing that if something goes wrong, you can call them and they're going to fix it quickly. You don't have to wait around on hold. You don't have to wait for an out-of-state worker to show up 10 days later. A lot of times it's going to be the same day because they're in Mississippi just like you. 601-362-9192 or visit them online, absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Before you go to the game this fall, make sure you head to Maroon & Co. And if you haven't already, use the promo code THUNDER15. 15% off all regular price items. Some exclusions do apply. So, you know, don't just, you know what I'm saying. And check out their incredible selection. Great items, stuff you can't find anywhere else. All the logos that you want. If you want to shop online, and this code is available online as well. The website is pretty simple, maroonandco.com. You can find all of their Mississippi State gear. You can find the Bulldog Initiative gear that's there, footwear, sunglasses, stuff for the tailgate, stuff for the car, everything right there at one spot. Before you go to the game this fall, make sure you go to Maroon & Co. Let's keep talking college football, Robbie, with one of our favorite guys from 24/7, from Last Kick with Josh Pate, the Chancellor, as I call him, as you'll hear more about that in just a moment, of Pate State University, our good friend Josh Pate. We don't have a lot of high-level academic people here on this podcast, but when the chancellor of Pate State University wanted to come on, I couldn't turn that down. Josh Pate, Late Kick with Josh Pate, one of the top college football podcasts in all of the country. Do you prefer chancellor or president? Do you have a title that you like better?
I like chancellor because I can't even spell it off the top of my head without the red squigglies popping up. So any title that's harder to spell, I've always found brings more money on the salary end. Not that we're in this for the money. Far be it for me to suggest that. But I'm going chancellor. I know a bunch of presidents. I don't think I know any chancellors.
All right. Well, I'm down with it. We'll go with that from there. The college football enjoyer would be a really very pragmatic way to describe what it is that you do. So I'll ask you this. Is the Big 12 the most enjoyable conference this year?
Yes, it is. I called it America's College Football Conference the other day, and I'm kind of going to run with that moniker because, as you know, this day and age, people are great at hearing you say what you didn't say. So I say the Big 12 is America's College Football Conference. I get 37 people immediately responding with, they're not better than the SEC. Well, no one really said they were, but all I've done is I've listened and I've aggregated the things that people say they don't like about college football right now. They don't like players constantly moving around. They don't like that everything's become mercenary, pay-for-play in NIL. They don't like the coaches moving around as much as they do. I don't want to gloss over that either. They say all these things, and they say they want more competitive balance on top of all that. And I say, well, I've got a place where virtually every team could win the conference. There isn't a ton of pay-for-play NIL bidding war going on. It's traditional recruiting, development, and you've got really good coaching, and it's the Big 12. That's what it is. And yet, when I say it, people reject it. So I just want folks to make up their minds. Like, is that really what you want? I think the Big 12 represents, to this day, the purest form of American college football that exists. And so, yeah, it's going to be really fun to watch. It may not produce a national champion. It may not produce more than one playoff team. But I love the regular season way more than I love the playoff anyway, so that's fine with me.
I haven't asked anybody about Colorado yet. I've done about three or four of these interviews and haven't gotten to the Buffaloes. I mean, I feel like they're a bowl team this year. They have two of the top 10 players maybe in all of college football, two guys who might be top 10 draft choices, and yet 6-6 feels like where they're going to be. Am I wrong? Am I right? Am I high? Am I low?
Yeah, that's really interesting because what you said there, I don't want to gloss over. They may have the two highest profile NFL draft types in the entire conference. And yet their over-under win total is 5.5, I think, right now. So 6 would be an over. 6 would be a bowl game. My theory on this is life's going to be really hard for them in the Big 12. And the reason is actually the inverse of what people expect. So I think a lot of folks are going to look at maybe some NFL talent. And who knows, the left tackle they brought in, the true freshman, Jordan Seaton, he profiles as a future NFL guy as well, but he's never played a down of college ball. But let's just say they have a few frontline future first or second round NFL draft picks. The thought is going to be, you're going into the Big 12, that's a conference that's not chock full of future stars. That's a conference not chock full of former 4- and 5-star players. So it'll be easier there. I actually think the opposite. The Big 12 has known what it is for a long time. Kansas State has known. Iowa State has known. These programs have known we are not a bastion of 4- and 5-star, you know, recruits for a long time. So they've built their program accordingly. And what you have is you got a bunch of bowling balls out there who are made up of 4th- and 5th-year starters, and they're rock solid team guys. A lot of them know they're not even going to play on Sunday. But if they are, this is still probably the peak of their careers. And they're all in for the team. They're all in for the brand. You hardly ever hear like negative headlines. You never hear about diva mentality or those kinds of attitudes. And the reason I say that is because those are really, really hard teams to beat. They don't beat themselves, so you've got to go beat them. And what they'll do is they'll shake your tree every week. And if you're not put together, it'll shake you loose really quick. And then you don't get a break. You just have to go play another one and another one and another one. And you keep looking across the ball saying, wait, hardly any of these guys are going to play on Sundays. Why is it so hard to beat them? Well, because you're playing a team. You're not playing individuals. That's why it's hard to beat them.
I don't know what the term is for group of five anymore. I guess it's group of six, but I've heard at-large representative, whatever you want to call it. Who will that team be in the college football playoff this year?
Well, I was looking at that last night. We had a bold prediction from a viewer on our show. They were asking how many teams named after the Tiger, how many Tiger mascot teams will make the playoff? And so you're thinking about Auburn or Missouri or LSU, et cetera. Well, I did not realize Memphis is at least favored right now to win the AAC. Mm-hmm. That's a Tiger for the record. So maybe Memphis. Tulane is in that conversation. I always keep an eye on Liberty. I think off the top of my head, like, I still don't want to write off Tulane. I think John Summerall brought a really good staff with him. I think Summerall's a rising star just as a head coach himself. And I think they could do some damage this year. So I keep an eye on Tulane, although I know Memphis is the current odds-on favorite to do it.
I know these two games are a week apart, so you could go to both. But if I told you you could only go to one, would you rather go to Georgia at Texas or Ohio State at Oregon?
Ohio State at Oregon is the one I'd rather go to. First off, both of them could be rematches in their conference title games. Yeah. The reason I opted for Ohio State Oregon is because I went out there for the UCLA Oregon game a couple of years ago, and it was my first Oregon game. It's the only one I've been to. Mm-hmm. And I got to see a day game there. It was one of those noon kickoffs, so it's 3:30 on the East Coast, or 3 o'clock, 3:30, whatever, on the East Coast. So it was a good day, but I kept thinking to myself, you know, they're running up the score. They're winning comfortably. Place is still fairly insane. What must this place be like for a premier night game? And that's what I think that Ohio State game will be. Now, here's the other thing. They have an F1 race in Austin the same weekend that Georgia is in town. Just total nightmare. Total nightmare. I went over there a couple of weeks ago, and I was talking to Sark about it. He said, do you have a hotel room? And I said, no, I don't know for sure I'm coming to that game. And he said, you've got to move on that now, or you will have no shot. You'll have to go stay in, like, Dallas or Houston or something like that. So there will be other times to see Texas and Georgia in high-profile games this year. In the Big Ten, man, that's still a top-heavy conference to me. So when two of the big boys face off, I think I need to be there for that one.
Let's talk a little Mississippi State. Can Blake Shapen be what Dylan Gabriel and Matt Corral were in a Jeff Lebby offense?
Whew. One of the big questions in the conference this year. My inclination, like, my lean is no, but it's not a hard no. It's like a lowercase N-O, and it's written in pencil because I've seen what Lebby can do before.
Right.
To me, let's just say they get that. Or let's say they get like a B to B-plus version of that relative to what those other guys had been. My other question with them is, in a complimentary fashion, how do they play? Like, we did the show. I had Lebby on the show a couple of months ago, and I asked them about hiring and the philosophy behind hiring and how, you know, thoughtful you have to be on your style of offense when you hire defensively. And, you know, he said all the right things, but my point kind of remains is that plays per minute, they are the highest tempo offense in the country. And he hired a defensive coordinator who hasn't held that position before.
Yeah.
And when I go back just in history, in the history of college football, especially the recent history of the more hurry-up style offense, that's always been a red flag. Historically, doesn't mean there aren't exceptions, but when you have up-tempo plays per minute in the top 10 percentile and you don't have experience at the defensive coordinator position, it has been a recipe for disaster in the past. So independent of what Shapen gives them, let's just say he gives them B-level play relative to past guys Lebby's had. How does that impact the team overall is my bigger question.
I've talked to some people over at State who've been at State for a long time, going back to when Dan Mullen first arrived here in Starkville. And they tell me, you know, I get similar vibes. You know, that Mullen and Lebby, they have the same kind of confidence, maybe even a little bit of arrogance in their ability to coach offense, that they like what they see from Lebby. Can Jeff Lebby do for Mississippi State what Dan Mullen was able to do, and just in terms of elevating the program?
That's a really good comparison. I would not have thought of it that way, but having been around both of them, at least not blind confidence, but the really, really unshakable confidence in their way offensively working, yeah, they've got that. I think Lebby is a whole lot more serious and passionate about recruiting. Mm-hmm. Instead of just saying the right things about recruiting than Dan Mullen was, per se. I think the long-term answer is yes, but it's got to be given the right amount of time. And my other concern, and this doesn't necessarily have anything to do with Levy, but my one concern is how do the folks at Mississippi State react this year if Ole Miss wins the SEC and goes and wins a playoff game, does something they've never done in program history, and you struggle to make a bowl game or don't make a bowl game? Like, do people understand we've got to view ourselves in a vacuum? We shouldn't be putting more pressure on our guy because of what the guy up the road did. Even though it sucks, like it doesn't feel great, still, we need to view ourselves in a vacuum. That's easy to say in June. No one thinks that way when emotion gets injected into the conversation in November. So if, conditionally, all of those are met, yeah, he could do that. I would even say he could exceed it, because a lot of coaches think Levy is the next rising star in the industry. Like, a lot of them have thought that. And you've got him there. It's just got to be given time to make it work.
It really hits on something I've been saying a lot, that, you know, Mississippi State fans need to enjoy the college football season independent of what happens in Oxford this year, because they're going to be good, and there's really no getting around that. And if that tampers with your enjoyment, well, then you're not going to have a good college football season. I am, because I love college football, and I'm not going to worry about what happens in Oxford until we get there on Black Friday. Josh Pate, Late Kick with Josh Pate, the premier voice in college football for my money. Thanks so much for your time. I appreciate it.
I appreciate it, man. Thank you for having me.
All right, thanks to Josh. Appreciate his time. Really good stuff, as always. Going to keep bringing you those interviews. We'll have some more of those this week. We'll have an opponent preview this week with Missouri. We'll talk about the Missouri Tigers. Our SEC preview this week, Robbie, is Kentucky. So that should be a little bit interesting as well. Plus, we've got another stop on the Catfish Tour. This week we'll be in Boyle. I was thinking about this, by the way, Robbie. This stop is on Friday, right? Friday, the 20th.
Is it Friday?
Yes, we're going on Friday, because I have a speaking engagement on Thursday. You know what that means, Robbie? It means it is that rarest of birds. You will get a Saturday thunder and lightning this week.
Heck yeah!
So you don't get that very often. Call it a little Christmas in June for you, but a sixth thunder and lightning episode this week. So that should be a lot of fun. As well. SEC preview, opponent preview, talking football, more recruiting stuff as it happens. We got a lot to talk about. We'll talk about it all week here on Thunder and Lightning. For Robbie. Oh, and one more thing. Today on the Thunder and Lightning podcast feed, I didn't add it to the show today, but don't miss my interview with Matt Brown. Matt Brown from Extra Points Newsletter. He's one of the lucky few who has already played EA College Football 25. So I talked to him about the game, some of the stuff he saw, some of the stuff he liked and he didn't like. That interview is on the podcast feed. Please check it out. You will enjoy it. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi.
The Rock says. The Rock says, know your damn role.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.